James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren, the prophets, which have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Father, we thank you this morning for this privilege to be in the house of God. Thankful for your presence, for you said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you would be in the midst. I pray this morning that you'd talk to us through your word, speak to our hearts through the message this morning. Help me, Lord, to be an instrument in your hand to deliver your message to this congregation. And I pray that some soul would find help in the Lord this morning. We'll give you the glory and honor for all the good that's accomplished in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen and amen. I would like to preach this morning for just a few minutes on the patience of the saints. In the Bible, patience is often related to the coming of the Lord. And in this particular passage of Scripture, it has reference to the coming of the Lord. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He says again in verse 8, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 21 and verse 19, in your patience possess ye your souls. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36, he says, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. And that is the promise of the Lord's second coming. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. So that the promise of the Lord concerning Jesus' second coming is a sure promise. And the Bible tells us that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. I want to ask you this morning, is this the outlook of your life? Are you patiently waiting for the coming of the Lord? The Lord direct your hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. The next great event in God's plan of redemption is the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are seven major events in Christ's redemptive work. There's his birth, his baptism, his transfiguration on the mountain, his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, and finally, his return. And I'm here to tell you this morning that his return is just as sure to happen as the other six have already happened. And Jesus is going to come back. The Bible tells us, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus promised he was coming back. He said to his disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus himself promised he was coming back to receive us unto himself. Angels confirmed that promise in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus ascended into heaven. Two men stood by the disciples as they stood gazing up into the heavens and said, "Why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that ye have seen go away shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go." The angels confirmed the second coming of the Lord. The apostles repeated that promise over and over again in the New Testament that Jesus was coming back. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, the apostle said, "And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Jesus promised he's coming back. Angels confirmed that, and the apostles repeated it over and over again that Jesus is coming back. For those who are ready, for those who have made their calling and election sure, it is our blessed hope. The Bible says in Titus 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the blessed hope of the people of God. It is our comfort, for the Bible tells us, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we shall all be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And he said, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So the coming of the Lord is a comfort to the people of God. It is our blessed hope. It is our comfort. It is also our motivation for holy living. For the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3 and 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless." So that the coming of the Lord is an incentive for us to live every day in preparation for his second coming. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly." And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Holy living, this coming of the Lord is a motivation to holy living. Jesus taught his disciples to watch for his second coming. He said, "Watch and pray." Hallelujah. A lot of people are talking about it, and they're singing about it, but they're not living like it. That they're really expecting Jesus to come back. Whenever that promise is a living reality in our hearts, and it really means something to us that Jesus is coming back, it will be reflected in our activities, in our daily life, that we are really looking for Jesus to come back. Twice in this passage of Scripture, James mentions the need for patience. Verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." And the context of that statement is the sufferings of the people of God at the hands of the rich. He said in verse 6, "Ye that is the rich have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." In all of your suffering, remember this, that your rescue is on the way. Jesus is coming back.
Thou will be a relief for your suffering. Help will soon arrive. We're going to exchange the old cross for a crown. Be patient to the coming of the Lord. Keep on taking it. Keep on being humble. Keep on having the attitude of not resisting those who are persecuting you. He said, you have been condemned and killed, but you are not resisting. Keep on being patient. Patiently endure suffering in anticipation of relief at Christ's return. The Bible said in Romans 8 and 18, hey, get this. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's coming a day, brother, and all the suffering we go through for Jesus' sake. And the Bible tells us that if you will live godly in Christ Jesus, any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. Not everybody is going to like it because you live for God. And people are not going to like it on the job when you don't take part in the dirty jokes. And they're not going to like it whenever you decide that you're going to be honest even if it costs you your job. They're not going to like it whenever you stand up and be a man of integrity and a woman of integrity in a world that despises the commands of God. And the world don't look on that lightly, and you'll take some persecution. Young people, even you will have to suffer some for Jesus. If you make up your mind, you're going to heaven. I can remember just as a young man, teenager in high school, living for God and taking my Bible to school every day. And you know, that wasn't a popular thing to do, but that was the most important book I had. It was more important than my science book and my math book and my history book. That Bible was the most important book I had. I took it to school with me every day. And a lot of times people looked on me like I was sort of a leper, you know, anybody taking a Bible around and representing Jesus Christ. And I remember I had a job one summer working with some men laying carpet. I was a carpet mechanic's helper. Danny, how about that? And these guys, boy, I'm telling you, Danny, they were rough fellas. And they ribbed me. They found out about my religion. They stayed on me constantly about my religion and tormented me. And I remember we had to go out of town one time to do a job and had to stay in the motel. And so, you know, they got in the motel room and they turned on the TV and they went to talking their talk. And I did what I always did, got my Bible and started reading my Bible and got on my knees and started praying. Boy, it made them mad. They just couldn't feel real comfortable about around somebody reading their Bible and praying. And I could hear them over there muttering about that boy over there praying and reading his Bible. And so, you know, sometimes you're going to take a little persecution if you take a stand for Jesus. And you're going to live for God. But he said, be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. This coming a day, we're going to exchange the cross for a crown. And I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. No needing us complaining now, really, you know. Sometimes we go through the fire. I know what it is to go through the fire. But I'm telling you, brother, there's no need in us groaning and complaining about what we're going through when we understand what the end of this road is all about, and that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Hallelujah. And so it makes it a whole lot easier to go through the fire down here when we understand that it's just for a little while and Jesus is coming back again. Praise God. So it'll be patient unto the coming of the Lord. Keep on being humble. Keep on taking it. Keep on praying. Keep on waiting. Hallelujah. Living right, trusting God. While the rest of the church world is taking another route. You know, when they used to live right, talk right, walk right, dress right, go to the right places, and you see them taking another route, you just stay on the right road because Jesus is coming back. And when He comes back, we want to be found walking right. Amen. Living right. Doing right. Because we love Him and we're expecting Jesus to come back. Hallelujah. Be patient, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. He said again in verse 8, be ye also patient. And He had prefaced that with the husbandman waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And He hath long patience for it until He received the early and the latter rain. The farmer that's farming, if he's going to be a successful farmer, he's got to be a patient man. He's got to wait on the harvest. And He is indicating to us that we must never give up on Christ's promised return. There are a lot of people who have given up on that. And the Bible tells us that in the last days that there would be scoffers come along saying, where is the promise of His coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning. The scoffer says that. The evil servant says, my Lord delayeth His coming. And he begins to go out, smite his fellow servants, and he begins to eat and drink with the drunken. You see the attitude toward the coming of the Lord. Get this, brother and sister. Your attitude toward the coming of the Lord is going to affect your behavior. It's going to affect your attitude. When you understand that Jesus is coming back, that He's coming back for a church, a glorious church. Are you understanding this? He's coming back for a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. I'm telling you, you can't live a careless life and look for the coming of the Lord, who's coming back for a bride that's made herself ready. Praise God. Oh yeah, it'll make you keep your eyes clean, what you're looking at. Make you keep your ears clean so that you're careful what you listen to. It'll make you keep your heart clean so that you're careful what you allow in your heart. Amen. He said in this passage of Scripture, He said, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That is, you're to strengthen your heart. You're to equip your soul to stand firm. You're to be unmoved by troubles and temptations. And the Bible indicates to us that in the last days, troubles and trials and temptations will become more severe as we approach the coming of the Lord. But you're to establish your hearts. You're to make up your mind, if Daddy don't go, I'm still going. If Mama don't go, I'm still going. If son and daughter don't go, I'm still going. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to keep on praying. I'm going to keep on living right. I'm going to keep on serving God with all of my heart, because I know Jesus is coming, and His coming is drawing nigh. Brother, I'm telling you, we live closer this morning than anybody's ever lived to the second coming of the Lord. This was written almost 2,000 years ago. And James said, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Where do you think we are this morning? Almost 2,000 years later. How close are we to the coming of the Lord for the church of Jesus Christ? This glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. I ask you this morning, are you praying? Are you living a holy life? Dedicated and consecrated to God? I'm not asking you, is this opinion just your opinion of yourself? But have you brought yourself before the great throne of God and said, God, search my heart. Look in my heart, look in my life, and search me by the Word of God, search me by the Spirit of God, and see if my life is pleasing in your sight. Am I dressed up for the wedding? Hallelujah. Do I have my wedding garment on? And am I spotless before God? Hallelujah. We want God to know. Amen. We want God to be the one to put His stamp of approval on the way we're living. Not only that, brother. I'm telling you, a whole lot of people got a high opinion of themselves, and nobody around them has any confidence in them. You know, there's something wrong in that person's life. The Bible tells us for a man to be qualified as a bishop, that is a leader in the church, he is to have a good report, not only among the saints of God, but he's to have a good report of them that are outside the church of Jesus Christ. So that he's to live a life that even though people may despise his religion, they can't put their finger on his life. And God help us that we live such a life that people around us could see that we're devoted to God. When the world decided they wanted to condemn Daniel, hallelujah, y'all hearing me? When the world decided they wanted to condemn Daniel, they understood the only thing we can find against this man is that he's loyal to God. Hallelujah. So they made a law, if you pray to anybody other than the king for 30 days, then you're going to get in trouble. They knew Daniel prayed. Does the world know you pray? Hallelujah. They knew Daniel prayed. They knew they could get him right here because this man was going to pray. He was going to pray when it was convenient. He was going to pray when it was not convenient. They knew this man was going to pray. Does the world know that you pray? Oh, yeah. Be patient, brethren, under the coming of the Lord. Don't ever give up on His promise to return. The evil servant said, "My Lord, hath delayed His coming." He began to smite his fellow servants. He was supposed to feed them. And instead, he's smiting them. He fell out with the people in the household. Now, brothers and sisters, listen to me. If you can't get along with good people, there's only one other place to go. And that's outside the household. If you can't get along with saved people, sanctified people, then you're going to have to find companionship somewhere else. And that's what happened to this man. He fell out with the people in the household, and then he began to eat and to drink with the drunken. Whenever you hear somebody finding fault in the house of God and critical in their attitude, look out. That person is in spiritual danger. And it won't be long if that attitude keeps up that they'll be hunting companionship somewhere outside the household. And this man fell out with the people in the household. And it wasn't long until he was seeking his companionship outside the household. He was eating and drinking with the drunken. And the master of that servant came back in an hour that he was not aware and caught him not ready for the coming. Listen. The Bible tells us in my passage of Scripture, grudge not one against another, brethren. And understand this, lest you be condemned. Don't complain against each other. Keep a right relationship and attitude toward fellow Christians, because this is part of our being ready when Jesus comes. It's for us to have a right attitude toward our fellow Christians. Do you know it's so easy to find fault with one another? And especially when your love gets a little cold, then it seems like everything is exaggerated in our minds that we see in the people of God. And I'm telling you now, if you don't love me, you're going to find some major things wrong with me. Yeah. I mean me. And if I don't love you, I'll find some major things wrong with you. If I didn't love my wife, I might can find some things wrong with her. But I don't know what they might be, but I might could if I didn't love her. Oh, I'll tell you what. I love that woman so good. She just can't hardly do any wrong. And I tell her all the time how wonderful she is. She's a princess. Oh, I'm so blessed to have her. Hey, y'all understand what makes a man do that? This is the love of God. Now, some of y'all sit back and y'all don't love her like I do. And you can find some fault with her. You probably see some things I don't see. But I'm telling you, I love that woman. And when you love somebody, brother, you're not so quick to criticize them and find fault with them when you love them. Hallelujah. So the Bible tells us don't be grudging one against another. Be careful in your attitude towards your brothers and sisters. Because the Lord is coming. And when He comes back, our relationship to Him is not going to be any better. Y'all understanding me now? It's not going to be any better than our relationship with one another. Is that right? Our relationship with Him is not going to be any better than our relationship with one another. So He said, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. The judge is standing at the door. The Bible says in the last days, because iniquity should abound, the love of many would wax cold. I want to ask you something. How many people in this church do you believe love you good enough they'd lay down their life for you? Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Hey, listen now. If you're going to spread my name as mud, you don't love me like that. If I'm going to spread your name like mud, I don't love you like that. How many people in this place do you believe would love you good enough they'd lay down their life for you? And listen, this is what I want to know. How many of you sitting here love the people of God in this place so good that you would lay down your life for them? There's a loyalty. There's a love. There's a faithfulness. There's a friendship. There's a kinship. There's a commitment. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. The judge is standing at the door. Now you make a decision. You see, we all make a decision about this. We make a decision whether or not we're going to nourish hurts in our heart or whether we're going to get over it by the grace of God. I'm telling you, brother, I've had people just in recent days that stand up. I'm telling you, I've been through the fire. But you know what? I've found the grace of God to be more than enough. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, the grace of God has been more than enough. God will give you the grace to forgive. Move on, brother, and treat that person as if it never happened. God will give you the grace to do it. You just got to make a decision. Will I do what God wants me to do? Or will I nourish this hurt, this pain, this mistreatment that somebody has hoisted on me and become bitter and hateful? And lose my relationship with God.
Did you know? I'm sure. I don't have any doubt about it. That there are people sitting in this church in a congregation this size this morning. That this is your problem. Because somewhere, sometime, somebody did you wrong. And how many of us in this place could say, nobody ever did me wrong? But sometimes we're like that man, that song, that a worldly song we used to sing back when I was young. Somebody play me that somebody did me wrong song again. Let me sing along. Put it on again. Somebody did me wrong. In a lot of people's hearts, this is what's going around and around. Somebody did me wrong. Somebody did me wrong. Somebody did me wrong. Put that song on again. We're like that person, you know, Charles Dickens' book. Can't remember what it was now, but this woman, she was getting married, you know. And had everything there. The wedding cake is there. She has everything ready. And the guy stands her up. He doesn't show up. She stops the clock. 10 o'clock, whatever time it is. 10 o'clock. She stops the clock. She never takes off her wedding gown. It turns yellow on her shrunken frame. Rats, mice make holes in the cake over the years. The blinds are drawn, never opened again. The sun never shines through the blinds again. And that woman lives like that the rest of her life with the shades pulled, blinds drawn, cake on the table, wedding dress on, turning yellow, and the clock stuck at 10 o'clock whenever she was stood up. And some of you are right there. You stopped the clock somewhere, and you can't get beyond that day, that hour, when somebody did me wrong. But you know what? There's a remedy for that. The Bible says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And we're going to move on. By the help of God, we're going to move on. Because Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. The trumpet's going to sound. I'm telling you, the archangel is going to blow the trumpet. And the dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God and get up. And all of us who are still alive at that day, we're going to hear that voice, and gravity's going to lose its hold. And we're going to meet in the air to ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you, brother, we're close to that hour. Praise God. I said we're close to that hour this morning. All we got to do is just look around us. And we can see on the world stage and that things are happening just like the Bible said it was going to happen. And I'm warning you this morning and encouraging you this morning. Watch and pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things and to stand before the Son of Man. When you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your eyes, and for your redemption is drawing nigh this morning. God wants us to be ready. Hey, I'm telling you, God's not wanting just to catch you flat-footed. God wants you to be ready. That's why that He's sending a message to you this morning. God wants you to be ready when Jesus comes. He wants you to hear that voice. He wants you to hear that trumpet. He wants you to rise and hallelujah and join the throng in the skies for that glorious reunion in heaven with Jesus. And God wants every one of us to be ready this morning. Ask you the question, are you ready? Should the trumpet blow this morning? Are you ready
to rise. Hallelujah. Would gravity lose its hold? Are you tied to this earth by some bitter passion in you? Are you tied to this earth by some worldly love? Are you tied to this earth by something displeasing to God? Are you ready? If the trumpet blowed this morning, would there be nothing between your soul and the Savior? Sister Judy, I want you to come to the piano this morning. Jesus is coming. I'm telling you, He's coming. I don't know the day. And I don't know the hour. And the Bible tells us that no man knows the day, no man knows the hour. And there's a reason for that. It's because every one of us are supposed to be ready at any hour. Be ye therefore ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Are you ready this morning? Is your heart clean? Is your life clean? Are you living a sanctified, holy, committed, dedicated life to Jesus? Obedience to His Word? Are you praying daily, oh God, let my life be a light to some soul? Are you praying daily, Lord, help me to be full of the Holy Ghost? I want that same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave have control of me when the trumpet sounds. That same Spirit that brought Jesus out of the grave shall also quicken your mortal body to bring you out of the grave too. If you're here this morning, you're lost without Jesus. I'm telling you, this is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Not tomorrow, not next week. Right now is the accepted time. Here's what happens. God says today is the day of salvation. Satan says tomorrow. God says now is the accepted time. And the devil says sometime later. You got plenty of time. You can do it later. And God is saying, we don't know the day. And we don't know the hour. Come and get right with God. Church, are you ready? Are you clean? Are you pure? Are you sanctified? Are you seeking all of God that God's got for you? Are you just sort of taking it easy? Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Are we preparing for that wonderful day? Oh, hallelujah. We're going to have a wedding around here in a little while. Brother Kyle and Sister Brittany here, they're getting ready for it. They're making preparations for it. Oh, yeah. Sister Connie's working hard. All kind of preparations being made for the wedding. And you know, we're going to have one too. I'm talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. We're going to have one too. In the near future, brother, we're supposed to be getting ready for it too. Hallelujah. Are you getting ready? Amen. You making preparation? Let's stand together. Altars are open. If you're here this morning without Jesus, it's time to get ready. Oh, hey, it's time to get ready. It's time to get right with God.